Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, sales success coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy show, because, well, this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to help people recover their confidence after crisis so that they can return back to being their normal self or better. So I am super excited to introduce Jennifer Cunningham. Now, Jennifer is a certified coach and has earned 2 master's degrees in counseling and conflict management. After suffering through and regaining confidence after her own reputational crisis, she decided to use her background to help others. She knows what to ask to facilitate growth. She uses empathy, balance with insight, and powerful inquiry to understand your story, help you decipher its deeper meaning, and propel you to action-oriented results. Now, Jennifer is passionate about helping people who have been the victim or target of false allegations, character assassination, defamation, harassment, or bullying. She coaches her clients through the situation with grace while helping them keep their sanity and confidence intact. Well, welcome, Jennifer. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Wendy, so happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And, you know, I just love how you're helping people regain their pride and their reputation after someone else has ruined that. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Yeah, it can be very devastating, to say the least.
Absolutely. And I know when I was introducing you, I mentioned that you had experienced a reputational crisis yourself, but can you share a little bit more about exactly what was that situation, why it was the tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice?
Yeah, absolutely. So I suffered a humiliating incident at my workplace. I was targeted by a group who accused me of something. Mm-hmm. And prior, I had been loved employee at my organization, and the group that targeted me kind of, you know, they plastered signs all over. I work in higher education, and they plastered signs all over the campus and asked for my resignation. And it was really a challenging situation because I really couldn't, I wasn't in a place to fight it because the information that I was accused of, you know, falsely saying was all confidential. So I really didn't have an opportunity to fight back. And yeah, it was very traumatic.
Yeah, it sounds devastating. Well, so Jennifer, how long have you had your own coaching practice, and has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
So I really started the coaching, I've been in business for about a year, and, you know, my website went live literally the week that COVID hit.
Oh.
You know, I've been using my coaching and counseling skills for over 20 years in, you know, in my profession. So I've coached people mainly in career counseling, but also in relationships before kind of getting to focus on this particular issue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have a really deep experience level in terms of, you know, providing that expertise to others. But this situation occurred, and then that prompted you to go into this specific area of counseling and coaching.
Yeah, I was looking for ways to heal. You know, I wanted to heal from my own situation. And as I sought, typical treatments, therapy, meditation, and so forth, I came across this concept called post-traumatic growth. And that really resonated with me. So that was what prompted me to say, hey, you know, I'm going to let this decision define me. Mm-hmm. And that's what propelled me to want to help others, because I started hearing about other people's experiences, many who had suffered, you know, great injustices, way more than I had. And I thought, you know what, I can do this. I can help people give back.
Right. You're right. It's time to take a stand for those people. Yeah. I love that. And such important work, especially with what occurs on, you know, through social media and that kind of thing. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way in building your practice?
Well, I would say the number one thing is just that I am doing this currently part-time. I still have a full-time job, and balancing those two things has been a bit of a challenge, and, you know, trying to kind of build something. But, you know, I went into it with the idea in mind that that's how I would do it. I would hopefully get to a point where I could then transition full time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, it's always important to ramp up the business gradually versus just all at once, maybe jumping into it without having everything all figured out. Because let's face it, building a business is much different than being an employee. So there are some skills that need to be acquired that usually we don't pick up in college or other situations. So it does take a little bit to ramp up the business, and sounds like you're doing it a very, very wise process. So, well,
yeah. And I mean, just to add, I think maybe the other areas, you know, reaching the correct client and, you know, focusing my message so that I'm reaching the person that really can benefit most from the help.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. So what techniques have you used in order to balance your, you know, your time management skills, not time management skills, but acquire them? Because working one job as well as building this, that takes some either self-discipline, or somehow you found more hours in the day than most of us have. Can you share a little bit around how you're juggling the two?
Sure. So in that respect, you know, COVID has actually been beneficial in terms of my time management, because I've been working from home. So that has given me a lot of flexibility in my schedule to, you know, to get my work done that I need to do for my job, but also to work, you know, online on this, on building this business. So in that respect, it's been a good thing. And I just try to, you know, the priority for me is to fulfill my work obligations. And then in the time that I have, which involves a lot of weekends, I'm able to focus on the coaching business.
Right. And obviously you don't have to jump in a car and commute for who knows how many minutes a day. And so that right there is time that you can reinvest. So yeah.
That's and the putting on makeup, you know, that's a good half hour there. So
exactly.
Take it where I can get it.
That's right. And, you know, Jennifer, you're obviously an expert at helping people regain and rebuild their reputations after they've been falsely accused and their reputation has been destroyed. But how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Now, this is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
I think the greatest challenge for me is when I get on, you know, a free consultation call with someone, because that's part of, you know, my program is as I meet the client, for one session, just to find out if we can work together, if it makes sense to work together.
Right.
And I hear the pain that many people are experiencing, you know, often, you know, people get on the phone and cry, you know, and it's very traumatic for a lot of people. And yet when we come to getting them to enroll and walking through that step. There's nothing that they can kind of see that's tangible, I think. And I know that I can help them. And I guess just having people want to invest in their own healing mm-hmm. is difficult for a lot of people. And I understand that because it's a two-way street. So the person, if they know, you know, somewhere in their in themselves that they're not going to do the work required, then that may be their hesitation. And I know pretty quickly how motivated someone is to work through it. Right. But, you know, I think I can help them even with that part in trying to see, you know, how it's going to benefit not only themselves, but their relationships with their families who care about them and want them to recover from this and their health and often their career, which may have been damaged in some of these situations.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're certainly not alone in, you know, having this challenge of wanting people to invest in themselves, right? And then having them put the brakes on. It's like, okay, well, I thought that's why we're having the conversation in the first place. So you're definitely not alone in trying to demystify that portion of it. And I would love to provide a little insight around that if you'd like.
Sure, please.
Yeah. So basically, and we haven't had very much of a conversation here, so I don't know exactly what all is included within your enrollment conversation. But what comes to mind right away for me in helping you, you know, address this challenge is, you know, for people when they get on these calls and, you know, the topic comes up as to what's going on in their world, they really put a lot of energy and emotion into that reality of what's going wrong. And obviously this has been very traumatic and it's been a huge life altering situation that has happened to them and a lot at stake. And so a lot of energy is going into that aspect of the conversation on the negative side. What's really important is to take time. And like I said, we haven't had a conversation, so you may or may not do this, but I'm guessing that there can be even a more specific intent around making sure that time is taken during the enrollment conversation to really clearly define what life was like before. What life was like before this thing happened, before whatever false allegations or harassment or bullying, you know, before that. And not so much just the intellectual rendition of it, but, you know, how did it feel prior to this situation? What was their life really like? And where did they feel confidence? Where could they feel trust? And help them gain clarity around the big difference between before the event and now after the event. And when there is full clarity around the big difference, and you are presenting a way that they can get back to that, like we talked about your zone of genius, not just to get back to the normal, but even better, you know, or better, or at least close. When there's more clarity around what that really is in their mind, then there is, you know, more confidence in moving forward and saying yes to working together, you know, working mm-hmm. with you. So it really comes down to honoring some time within the conversation to really go into that other space, even though it's so easy for people to want to spend the majority of their time talking about the tragedy.
That's excellent insight. And I will, you know, I do a little bit of that, but I probably need to go a bit deeper if I'm honest with myself. Yeah.
I was just kind of guessing. So like I said, we hadn't really gone very, you know, detailed in how you do structure your conversation, but that's kind of what I was feeling is that more time needs to be spent really mm-hmm. dimensionalizing that. So hopefully that'll move the needle for you and make the next conversation where somebody is really gaining more confidence to saying yes to finally eliminating that pain and trauma they've been suffering. So and speaking of pain and suffering, we are still in the midst of this pandemic. You know, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, finally, a year and 2 months later, but I'm just curious, has the pandemic had any impact on the work that you do?
I think the greatest impact has really been the amount of time that people are now spending online. And, you know, when we're online and we're not in person with each other, there's some tendencies in human nature to maybe say things that we wouldn't necessarily say if we were looking into someone's eyes or if we were standing 2 or 3 feet apart from them. Right. And because of that barrier of social media, seeing a lot more people that have been targeted online, you know, cyberbullying or cancel culture, you know, is the new term for, you know, you express your opinion and you're automatically eliminated from the conversation. Right. And often people lash out on social media in ways that they wouldn't normally do. But the impact to the person or whoever's being targeted has absolutely the same effect, because mm-hmm. they're experiencing a humiliation or, you know, shame, embarrassment, all of those feelings. So right. that's been the biggest thing, I think, for me in this COVID situation.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because people do have a lot of stress that, you know, is causing them to possibly lash out, or, you know, they're feeling a lot of things internally. And so, like you said, without that face-to-face, it's easy to target somebody and make comments that they normally wouldn't even think about saying right. to the person to their face, but because there's that separation, then it's easy to just maybe vent and not realize the huge impact it's having on somebody else. So yeah, I can yep. see where your work is really, really important. Well, how do you work with people who want to rebuild their reputation after yep. being a victim or target of false allegations or character assassination or bullying? Can you share a little about your philosophy or your approach?
Absolutely. So, you know, part of it is really allowing the client to tell their story, because that is important, but we don't dwell there. So they have an opportunity to tell me the situation, which they've probably shared with many of their, you know, their family and friends. But, you know, as someone who has been through this myself, even my most ardent supporters, my family and my friends and my husband, you know, they had their limits on how much they wanted to hear. And they just really wanted me to get back to being myself. And I think that's probably the case with so many people. So I offer a space to let that person share with me the story. And then we talk about, you know, what they want to change. And often they say, you know, I just want to be myself again. And so what we do is we can, depending on the client and what their kind of orientation is, we could maybe work through some forgiveness exercises. And when I say forgiveness, I don't mean like that you're actually going to a person who targeted you and offering, oh, I forgive you. I'm talking about forgiveness as a process, which may have to happen over and over and over again. But through that process, what the outcome is the person forgives themselves and forgives the fact that they're feeling the way they do. I use a lot of exercises from positive psychology, so resilience exercises and self-care and values exercises to help clients get back in touch with that part of themselves. And a lot of, you know, inventory taking, so their skills and their strengths and what they were good at, to kind of build that confidence back up and have people remember, you know, before this thing happened, I was, you know, I was respected, I was loved, I've done so much in my life, whether it's, you know, in their career or their excellent parenting or a great partner in a relationship. And I try to get them to refocus on the things in their lives that have been productive and right. the accomplishments and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, I usually find that what people are experiencing bleeds into three areas of their life. Either their health is affected, their relationships or their career, or maybe all three. So depending, you know, it could involve some career counseling or healthcare management or relationship management.
Right. Yeah. No, it makes sense that everything is kind of interconnected. And so, you know, if they have experienced something that has affected their, you know, their self-confidence and taken them off their game, then that's going to affect their health, their relationships, and their work. So it really does interconnect. So yeah, very valuable coaching and support that you provide, that people, you know, they might just tend to want to kind of hold this within, and years could go by, right? And what's the ramification of that? Then the relationship completely possibly dismantles, or, you know, health issues arise. It's just this domino effect starts happening. So yeah, the
work, exactly.
It's just so important. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
So as I mentioned at the beginning of the interview, every person that comes to me, you know, is given a free consultation. And I hear about what's happening and just kind of explain, you know, how I can be helpful and if it makes sense for us to work together. Mm-hmm. And I do offer a free 6 strategies to recover your confidence after crisis. And one thing you should never do. And people can find that information by going directly to my website, which is reputationrepaircoach.com. And all of the information is on there. You can sign up for a free consultation as well as get the handout, the PDF on 6 strategies to recover after crisis.
Okay, perfect. So that is reputationrepaircoach.com, correct? And yes. So on there, they can navigate through and find a link to schedule a free consultation with you to just learn more about your process and really connect and see if it's something that's the right fit. And then you've also created this, sounds like a really valuable resource. And this is for free, this 6 strategies to recover confidence after a crisis?
Yes, absolutely free.
Oh, wow, that is fantastic. That is, sounds like a huge value there, a tremendous resource. So thank you for creating that. I know that that will be a very popular thing for our listeners to grab, as well as, you know, that free consultation. So fantastic. Well, Jennifer, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom here through our conversation, but if I could tap on you one last time, in looking at your own experience in building your business, what's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
So I have listened and heard from a woman named Mary Morrissey. She's an inspirational speaker, and a lot of things that she says resonates with me. And one of the things is, you know, we're going to design and create our life either intentionally or by default. So if you think a year ahead, you're going to be in a different space a year from now, whether you do it intentionally or whether you do it just by living every day on the planet, is where the rubber meets the road. And if you take a step, if you take one action every single day in the direction of your dreams, you'll get there. It may not be in the year that you wanted, but you'll be that much closer the next year or however long it takes you. So just keep doing those little things day by day that move you in the direction of your dreams. Mm,
yeah, that's great. I love that. Living by intention versus default. And it's so, you know, it seems like such a easy thing to say, but yet if you, like you said, if you set an intention every day to do something specifically to advance your business in whatever way that is, and every day, day by day, then suddenly a year later, 2 years later, you're in a totally different place than you would have been just living by default. So yeah, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. That's very powerful. Yeah. Well, Jennifer, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from your own experience within the workplace where you, you know, were really adversely impacted by somebody's character assault, you know, and you couldn't do anything about it really because of the confidentiality involved. And then realizing through your own process of healing and repairing and restoring and building your confidence back up that, wow, this is really something that others can benefit from. You've maybe shortened the process or gone through the whole research and development and also tapping upon your 20 years of counseling and coaching experience from your past. And now you're helping others who have been the victim or target of false allegations, character assassination, defamation, harassment, you know, bullying, all those things that we hear about, to finally help them regain their sanity and confidence. I really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it. And thank you very much for your insight. I will definitely be using that.
Good. Yeah, my pleasure. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Jennifer Cunningham through her website, reputationrepaircoach.com. And be sure to navigate through and schedule or request a free consultation and grab the free gift that she's offering, the 6 strategies to recovering confidence after crisis. So that's reputationrepaircoach.com. All right. Well, for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all 4 psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me and our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Jennifer Cunningham. And as always, here's to your success.